Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you folks this morning? We might get rain, you reckon? We probably need it. We're so glad that you're with us. If this is your first time to be at Jenkins Church, I'd like for you to just wave at me. Wonderful. I don't want to... Can somebody tell us who that is? Because we don't want to embarrass. It's what? It's your birthday? Oh. I think I'm being teased. We are so glad that you're with us. You want to tell us your name? Danny. Great. We're glad to have you with us. Anyone else if this is your first time? Well, Danny is sitting right there. We're going to stand and greet each other. Be sure and speak with her and let her know how much we're glad that she's with us today. All right, wasn't that fun? Any announcements that we have? I know the bulletin is full of things, but is there anything in particular that we need to draw attention to? Yes. Okay. Okay. All right.
We'll try to be through by 11:30.
Huh?
I won't say it too loud.
Nobody in second service heard it, so we're okay. All right. Any other announcements that we need to? Okay. Yes. Okay.
Session meets next week. Because of the activities today, we postponed it a week, so we'll be next week. Other committees meet either the call of the chair or next week if they need to. There's a dedication of a steeple of a church in Franklin today. You know where the historic, they're calling it the historic Cumberland Presbyterian Church is in Franklin, I think it's 635 West Main Street. Right behind the old library, they got a new steeple. I think the steeple has been off since early 1900s. Maybe a storm came and blew it off, and nobody's sure now. But somebody gave a large sum of money, and they added some to it, and they put a new steeple spire on the church. And they're going to dedicate that steeple to the glory of God today at 2 o'clock. Also, Ms. Bennett's in the hospital, that's the parent concern though, but since I'm up. And a former neighbor, a man that built our Sunday school department back yonder, his name is Phil Jones, and he had moved back to Kentucky. He had a stroke and was on life support till Friday, and about 5 o'clock Friday they were removing it, so I'm assuming that he expired, but I didn't ever have time to call back. But so pray for the Jones family.
All right. Any other announcements? All right. How about...
Oh, we start Wednesday service at this Wednesday, supper at 6 o'clock, worship time here in the sanctuary at 6:45, and I don't even know who the speaker is. Susan Gross is the speaker, and then we'll be having lay speakers through the season till somewhere near Thanksgiving. We call it during the school year. But it's 6 o'clock supper, and I don't even know what the menu is. Lasagna? Okay, lasagna. So I'm just coming to eat, no matter what. But lasagna, and then we will have worship at 6:45. You can't come to the supper if you don't want to eat lasagna. Come on at 6:45 and we'll worship. Contemporary worship, pretty similar to what we did last school year.
All right. Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning?
Yeah, fun. Should have fun.
Yes. Good. Anyone else? Alexandra. Okay. Let's remember her. All right. Let's just pause for a moment as we ask the Lord to come into our service. Amen. We're going to get our candles lit in just a moment. And, you know, the candles are really pretty. But I like what it says in our bulletin, welcoming Jesus, the light of the world. And I think that's probably what our candles are symbolizing. We're so glad that you're with us. In our bulletin this morning is our call to worship. It is from Psalms 19, 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warmed. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Let's all stand this morning and turn in our hymnals to Hymn 1. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. We will not be doing the Sister Act version today. We'll be doing it out of the hymnal. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like doors before thee, opening to the Son above. All the clouds of sin and sadness drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works rejoice around me, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around me, center of unbroken praise. Moon and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadows, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Mortals, join the happy chorus, which the morning stars began. Father, love is ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Let us bow together and pray. Lord, we come, and maybe we just kind of come. We might even come tired, or we might come with sadness, and we have much to be saddened about, but we also have much to be joyful over. So as we come into your presence, where you have promised to come and meet with us, we come joyfully, O Lord, and where there is a lack of joyfulness, we pray that you will just impart it to us, that you will stir in us and enable us to express joy and gladness before you, joyful to be a part of your kingdom, thankful and appreciative of what you have done for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, who became our Savior. Lord, just thank you for life and health and strength that we have. And thank you for your care for those who are infirm, that you're still loving them and holding them close to you. Lord, we pray for this service, every note of music, every act, and especially your word, Lord, let it speak to us, that we might hear from you. Thank you, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith in God, putting into words that which we believe.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Our call to confession is just a really special time for me. And I think it's special because I was raised in a church that believed in Christian perfection, which meant that if you were a Christian, you didn't sin. So you can imagine the spiritual frustration I felt most of my life. When I came to realize that my salvation is because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, it's been such a wonderful thing to know that I am an adopted child of the King. My sister is adopted. And she didn't do everything right all through her years, but I cannot imagine that my mother and father would look at her and say, because you've done such and such, you are no longer a part of our family. So it's wonderful to know that when we do something wrong, we have a Father that loves us, that has adopted us into His family, and is so ready to forgive and to restore. This is a special time where we can come to the Lord in confession. Our confession is from Psalm 51:3 this morning, and it says, King David said, I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Let's confess together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have refused to hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's continue in silence. Our assurance of forgiveness is from 1 John 3:5. John wrote, You know that He, Jesus, appeared so that He might take away our sins. Amen.
Turn your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 284. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Let's sing two verses and a chorus and two verses and a chorus. Maybe we'll not forget, and I can guide you through that.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each other's dignity, brave each one's pride. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
I got an email Thursday. Didn't know I was going to wake up this morning with a little touch of the crud. But anyway, if you'll bear with me, we'll try to do something here. Hope that it will uplift you. It's one of my favorite songs. Relatively new song. Written in 1932.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, how I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Every day He comes to me with calm assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. I may never know just why He came to save me. Till that day I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take my sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. He cares for us all. Oh, how much He cares for me.
Offertory sentence today is from 2 Corinthians 8:19. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord Himself and to show our eagerness to help. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Kingdom's work. Thank you, Father.
life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us sing a new song. Hymn 546, first verse only. And would you mind playing through that for us, please, ma'am?
Our scriptures today come from John and Leviticus. The first scripture is John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Indeed, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Our second scripture comes from John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. A new command I give you: love one another. as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Our last scripture comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Psalm is 281. It's called the Bond of Love.
How many times did you see in that passage, or those passages, the instruction to love other people? It's pretty much a given in the Christian church that you're supposed to be love for one another. Maybe what prompted this sermon, and I did not plan to say this, I planned to kind of just kind of let you pick it up. Somebody said the other day that somebody had said to them that they didn't feel that there was the feeling of love in Jenkins Church that there once had been. And so maybe that prompted this sermon, but it certainly goes along with where we have been coming from, or where we've been going for the last few weeks. From Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians about their oneness in Jesus. He's writing to Jews and Greeks alike, or Jews and Gentiles alike, and says that we are all one. There's no division. Doesn't matter where we came from, through Jesus Christ, we are made one. Then we have begun to look at, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians and following, some instructions for living as Christians in the world, but particularly in the church. So if you want to go and read from Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, you can find some detailed instructions. You can also read from the second chapter of 1 Timothy at worship. Begins like that. Also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and chapter 13, we've referred to that, and we'll get back to that maybe in a few weeks anyway. Won't promise next week. Also, we find what Jesus said about loving one another. He is talking to his disciples, but that also comes to us. Now, if I have a question whether something is authoritative, we might question, some of us might, what Paul said, or what James said, or what Titus said, or what the Hebrew writer said. But when Jesus says it, for me, that makes it a little more important. Though all Scripture is given by inspiration from God, and we know that these writers, or it is our firm belief that these other writers of the Word of God. We know it's the Bible. We're inspired by God. That we believe that God spoke to them back in the Old Testament and the New, and they wrote it down. But when Jesus says it, I put a little more emphasis on it. So we found today, you didn't have to look far, we knew where they were, where Jesus talks about loving each other and loving the Father, God the Father, and loving Him. Also, I looked for a verse. I knew there was a verse in the Bible, and I can't find it. And I've asked, and I've looked, and I've searched concordances. I've searched Bible Gateway and punched in this phrase. It's someone said, and it's what it means to me. Somebody said about the church of the first century, look how they love one another. I asked preacher friends, I got one friend that you can ask him a question and he'll say chapter and verse just immediately. But I didn't get with him this week, but others I did, and they would quote where they said about, the Jews said about Jesus in his relationship with Lazarus after Lazarus had died, right before Jesus raised him to new life. The Jews said about Jesus something, see how he loved him. Jesus' love for Lazarus. And the other verse, but the song is based on, they will know that we are Christians by our love. But can anyone tell me where the verse is, if there is such a verse, see how they loved one another. Somebody said that was like that proposed verse that every tub must sit on its own bottom. That may be a true statement, but I can't find it in the scriptures. But that comes from a testimony service or sharing your favorite verse in a worship service somewhere some time ago, and some lady stood up and said, or maybe it was a man, every tub must sit on its own bottom, but they could never find it in the bottom, in the Bible. Okay, but we're talking, but there is many verses that says love one another, or they will know that we belong to Jesus if we love one another. You have to go back and think back. Do you like to go back in the old days? We don't want to live back there, do we? But I want you to, most of us like to go back and daydream about the old days, right? Would you go back and think about some days past? Some days past from your life. Can you remember a situation in your life where you had no control whatsoever? You were totally out of control. Can you remember a situation there? Probably so. When things got out of control, at least as far as you're concerned, think of a situation. You like to go back? Maybe you don't like to go back and think of those situations, but think of the time when you had no control. I remember some experiences from my life or my family's life. My mother wanted to be in control. She worked hard at being in control. And I remember one experience that she didn't have control at all. It didn't have to do with me. In that time, the one, particular one I'm thinking about, but she didn't have any control whatsoever. I saw a mother Friday afternoon. Her son, they were about to remove the life support that he had been on since Sunday. She had no control. And she finally said, I don't want it to happen, but I know it's best. I know we have to. There are many situations in life where we have no control. Is that right? Is everybody in complete control of everything they do? Okay. Now, think of a situation where you were in complete control or almost complete control. Sometime from your past where you were in control. How did that go? Now, think to the present, if you will. Right now. Maybe there is some situation that you're in right now over which you have no control. Can you think of one? If you're in that one now, you're thinking of it, aren't you? And then, maybe one that you do have control over right now. There are some things in life that we, people, do not control. We can't have anything to do with when the sun comes up. Right? We can set our clocks by it. But we cannot control the sun rising, nor can we control the sun setting. It's going to rise and set according to God's plan. We try to control it, well, we'll be frustrated. Water. Water flows downhill. We might force it uphill, but it flows downhill. We have no control over that. How many hours there are in a day? No control. So there's much in life that we don't have control over. You know, there's some people that they call themselves control freaks. It drives them crazy if they can't control the sun or the moon or water or whatever. But while there's so much in life that we don't have control over, there are some things that we do. There's a lot that we have control over. If we deal more with those things that we have control over and leave alone those things that we don't have control over, that we can have not even any influence in, I think the world would be a better place and we would be much happier. We talked a few weeks ago about welcoming newcomers. Mr. Donahoe, I hope you were welcome last Sunday, and I hope you were welcome this Sunday. Danny, I hope you've been welcome this Sunday, and hope you'll be welcomed again. And we have control over that. We can decide whether we will speak to people or whether we will not speak to them, right? I mean, that's our choice. We have control over that. But we've already preached on that. We have control over whether we will be an encourager or a discourager. We preached, kind of touched on being an encourager last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago, I believe. We have control over that. We can be an encourager, or we can be a discourager, and we decide which we will be. If it's people in ministry, we can encourage them or discourage them. It's people out in the world, in the business world. Oh, I don't think I'd go into that one. That's pretty dangerous. You might lose everything you've got. Or we can say, go for it. I'm behind you. I'll be praying for you and I will help you along. I'm sure when Jeff went into business, he hasn't told me this. I'm just guessing. When he went into business, there were some that encouraged him along and there were some that said, oh, you'll never make it, Jeff. You fooled them, didn't you? God has blessed you. And others. Mr. Woodruff building houses. Steve putting in a sprinkler system or having it done. It'll never work. You never do that, I'm sure, you know. But though Steve grew up with that. And on, there are many situations. We have control over whether we will smile or frown. We have control over whether we will eat breakfast or skip it. I skipped it this morning. Who ate it? Whose choice was it? Some people are determined to eat breakfast. They don't think they can go without it. Hey, about half the time I don't eat it, or maybe three-fourths of the time. So I make that choice. I'm in control there. Whether we wear red or blue, I even looked for a necktie this morning. And I had a choice of whether I'd wear a tie or not. I guess I had that one, but I've always preached in a necktie. And on Sunday morning at least, and I've always tried to wear a coat based on a preacher from my youth, an example that he set for me. Some of my friends said the other day he preached with short sleeves and visitors to the church didn't like it. I'm still convinced that I ought to preach in a coat and tie or a robe, either one. Whether I wear red or blue or whatever, it's my choice. Mine. Yours. whether we are obedient to God, whether we be obedient to God, or whether we ignore what God says, that's our choice. And that's where we've been getting to, so we finally got there. It's up to us whether we obey God or whether we ignore what God says or do right the opposite of what He says. It's in our control, or it's under our control, whether we are obedient to God or whether we are not obedient to God. The Bible verse of the day, I looked at Bible Gateway the other day. That's the program you can go and find, I thought, almost anything you wanted to find in the Bible, and it is. Bible Gateway verse of the day last week. That's a program on your computer if you're not familiar with it. Was Isaiah 48:17. And the verse says, in the verse, I am the Lord your God. So it's God speaking. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. See, that's the amazing thing about God's instructions to us. Every one of them is for our benefit. Nothing that God ever instructs us to do will give us harm, or bring us harm, or will harm us in any way. Everything that God instructs us to do is for our benefit, for His glory, but He does it for our benefit. If we do it, it glorifies Him too. So the word is, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. So God teaches us what's best for us, who directs you in the way you should go. Wow! That supported my sermon today that I was already thinking about, or maybe it inspired it, I'm not sure which. And then verse 18, if only you had paid attention. The Israelites had not paid attention, and they ended up in bondage in Babylon. If only you had paid attention. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Are you righteous like the waves of the sea? Oh, how constant the waves are. We have no control over them either. The flow of the river, so regular, so smooth, so continual. If we had only listened to the Lord. That's what He said to the Israelites, but that's what He says to us. How many times have we looked back on life and said, if only I had of obeyed God. If only I had listened. Who's ever said that? If only I had listened. You ever said that? To my parents? If only I had listened to that good advice that somebody gave me. If only I had done what the Word of the Lord says. How many times have we looked back? Have we ever looked back? Has anybody that's never looked back and said, if only I had listened to what God said? Has anybody never looked back and said that? Never reflected back. I think most of us have, right? Am I on track, or am I just speaking in the wind this morning? Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Just up here spouting off or saying something that touches people's lives or relates to people's lives. The instructions from God today, God's instructions to us for today, is to love God and love one another. Love one another is really the emphasis today, though. I'm not talking about a romantic type, sensual love. That's eros. But I'm talking about, God is talking about, Jesus is talking about. As you go and read the letters of Paul and the letters of James, or the letter of James, we're talking about acting toward those around us as we would act toward our brother, our sister, that we were not mad at right then. That's brotherly love.
phileo, a filio. But more than this, acting toward other people as God has acted toward us. Acting toward other people, treating other people like God has treated us. Agape love. Loving other people like God loves us. Maybe love is sufficiently defined by the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is. What does 1 Corinthians 13 tell us about love? Love is patient. And love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, we may not have arrived at all of those characteristics in our own life yet, but God has. And that's something we can't aspire to. And we fail. We stumble and fall, and we become arrogant till somebody reminds us that God's people are not to be arrogant, etc., etc., etc. Acting toward others, especially fellow Christians, fellow creatures, though, also, but especially fellow Christians, acting toward them with a phrase that I discovered somewhere along the way, benevolent goodwill. Treating those around us as we desire to be treated. That's the golden rule, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treating those around us as we want to be treated. That's love. I think that's what the Word is talking about. Acting toward them as we want them to act toward us. I have experienced that a gripey attitude expressed in a particular tone of voice sounds a lot different than a gripey attitude expressed by someone other than me and coming toward me. Or it sounds different if it's going out from me than it does when it's coming to me. You know, I can gripe at my wife and I think it's okay. But it sounds a whole lot more hurtful. And yeah, she gripes at me every once in a while and I deserve it all. No question there. But even the tone of voice or a disgusted voice. Yeah, she's a good woman, but not perfect yet. We're working on it. I have no control over that, though. It sounds much better going than it does coming. Doesn't it? When I can gripe at someone or put them in their place, it sounds a whole lot better to me than it does, than it sounds when someone is putting me in my place. Loving God. Loving God. And actions show our love. And loving our fellow man, those around us. This must be important to God. How many times did you read it in Jesus' words in our lesson today? But it didn't start with Jesus. Started with God the Father, though Jesus was there with Him. Don't want to say that Jesus wasn't there then. In the beginning was Jesus. He was with God. And He was God. But it must be so important to God that we love one another. Loving God with our whole being is the first and the greatest commandment. That's what Jesus said when he was questioned about the greatest commandment. And loving our neighbor is next in line. Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Given in the Old Testament, quoted by Jesus. Not loving one another must have been a problem in the early church. It must have been a problem with the disciples, especially as they were loving or failing to love those other than the 12. But I think they had some problems amongst themselves, the 12 closest to Jesus. Some examples, Acts chapter 6. The Greek women and the Jewish women got to arguing over who was getting the most food. They put everything in a common storehouse, and the apostles were distributing it out, and one of them said, "Oh, we're not getting our fair share." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as people got to the communion table or the love feast before the communion service, it might have been. Paul said, "This is not the communion that you're celebrating. You're acting." Just read 1 Corinthians 11 before you get to verse 17. Or go back and read 1 Corinthians 10. Love is a choice, friends, if you're following your outline. We choose to act toward other people with the ingredients that make up love, or we choose not to. Those ingredients are patience and kindness and generosity and humility and courtesy and unselfishness, a good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. That's Henry Drummond's interpretation of what I had already read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is a choice. We have a choice. It's under our control whether we love someone or whether we not. Love begins with God. God is love, and we only love because He has first loved us. But God so loved the world, and we're a part of that world, and God showed His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we were unlovely. While we were enemies of God, He kept on loving us. While we didn't like Him at all, we were running from Him. He kept on loving us. 1 John 3:1, it says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." 1 John 3:1. "How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that's what we are. John 15:9-10. He speaks about love. Love continues, begins with God, but love continues with His people. Love continues with you and I. Jesus commands that we love. That's as important as "thou shalt not steal" or "thou shalt not kill." God the Father, back in Leviticus, I printed it for you. Love your neighbor. John urges us over and over. Jesus urges us over and over. Go read 1 John. Oh, it's all about love. Our loving others shows that we belong to God and shows that we are Christians. Hymn 284, "They will know that we are Christians by our love." The world will know, but it helps us to know. If we're unloving, we know that we are not of God. John 13:34, "Love one another." John 15:12, "Love each other as I have loved you." Jesus chose us to love us. "This is my command," John 15:17, "love each other." And Jesus promises that we will be blessed if we follow what Jesus teaches. John 13:17, if you're taking notes. Love one another. Just want to say, if we're in a group, if it be the church, or if it be a club, or if it be a community, or if it be the workplace, or if it be a classroom, if we're in a place where it's not as loving as it used to be, or not as loving as it once was, or not as loving as it needs to be, or not as loving as it should be, or if it's not as loving as you wish it was, you can be the one that brings about the change. You can be the one that brings about the change and makes it just as loving as it ought to be. Others may not see the problem. Others may not even care. Others may not know how to fix the problem. But you do. You just love. Love one another. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love to us. And help us to know it in such a way that, Lord, that we'll just have to share it by loving one another. Not in words only, but also in deed, as your word calls us to. In Jesus' name, amen. The song is 309. Friends, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's how it is with God's love. Let's sing verse 1 and 2 of 309.
the angel showed me a river, so clear, and its waters gave life. Where God and the Lamb were seated, when it flowed down the middle of the city, worship God, and will see Him face to face.